From the Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Okay, good morning. Here we are, OneRadioNetwork.com, kicking off another week of shows for you. 9 o'clock Central Time, Monday through Friday. William Cadwalder. Hope I'm saying that right. Let's see, is that how you say your name, William? Is that how you say it?
Very, very close. William Cadwalder.
Cadwalder. Wallader?
There's an extra A in there.
Cadwalader, yeah. What's the origin from that? What nationality is that?
That's from Wales.
From Wales, really? Wow.
And you can call me Bill if you like.
I will, thank you. Or William might be better. Yeah, William holds a Bachelor of Science degree from Cal Poly, Pomona. Master's degree from Pepperdine, Malibu. He's presented at the annual Cancer Convention in Los Angeles. He's taught at the International Institute of Building Biology and Ecology. We love these folks to talk to. He writes extensively on solutions to harmful electromagnetic radiation on the website, blog, social media. He's really spent his entire life working around technology. He was in the Marine Corps, and before consulting electromagnetic radiation, he was concerned with the amount of radiation we were exposed to in our daily life. And when a coworker was diagnosed with brain cancer, and he remembered that he always saw him on the cell phone before the meetings, and onward was his research. And his book is a new one. It's called Exposed, The Electronic Sickening of America, and How to Protect Yourself, Including Dangers of 5G and Smart Devices. Well, William, got your hands full here. Boy, shoo, man, with this 5G stuff. We actually heard the other day that they're working, you know, they, whoever they are, Doug and Mel, we call them Doug and Mel around here, right? Doug and Mel are working on 6G already.
I'm not familiar with that. They always have research projects going, but definitely 5G is now being installed. And we have people I know who are actually at some test sites up in Palo Alto when the gentleman, he's a colleague of mine, when he drives by to get to Santa Cruz, he can actually feel the 5G. So he is electromagnetic hypersensitive to it, but it's being installed as we speak.
Is it mainly in California now, William?
No, they have like cities in Texas that they're doing as well, so you have four major carriers, and each of those carriers have different plans for the 5G throughout their major cities. So they're all doing it a little bit different schedule, and but it's rolling out as we speak, putting up the antennas. There was another colleague of mine up in Sacramento, and literally it's 36 feet, the cell tower, from his wife's office in their home. So the idea is to get a lot denser on the cell towers, and where they're literally putting them up on lampposts.
Wow. So Bill, are the 5G, is it just purely for internet, or are they being used to boost the cell phone signals as well?
Well, the data is the biggest thing that they're going to 5G for, because they need a lot more bandwidth. People are demanding to download movies quicker, videos, and all that other thing. And as you look at our cell phones, our flip phones that we had in the 90s and the bricks that were poor, before that there was no data. So the data and the video, more even the video, is driving the increased bandwidth for that.
And what's the dynamics with transmitting voice as opposed to pictures?
You know, each of them take a little bit more, so text and voice would be the smallest amount of data or the smallest amount of information. As you go up to pictures and images, it takes even more. And then sound is next, and then videos would take the most.
Sure.
So we have moving, you know, moving images with sound.
So
each of those take more and more data or more and more bandwidth.
Mm-hmm. So if you were on your smartphone, we call them dumb phones around here, but dumb phones. If you're on your dumb phone and you wanted to download and watch a movie, I guess you wouldn't even have to download it if you were on Amazon Prime or Netflix or somewhere, Hulu. You could just stream it, correct?
Right,
and,
right.
And then how much of down is it then down to download bandwidth you need to do that? Is it around 5 megs or even less?
You know, most smartphones will do that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take care of that. And the G stands for generation. So when we first came out, it was 1G. Then we went up to 2G, which is the second generation, 3G, then 4G, then 4G LTE, and then the 5G. Is where we are. So most phones that connect to 4G or 4G LTE can download those and stream those videos, you know, as you watch it.
And if you did a, let's see, if you did a, you can go on there and say, what's my internet speed, right? And it'll show you your download and your upload speed. Very simple to do. You can just Google it. I don't know how accurate it is, but so if you were in the blanket of a 5G, in general, what would that show up as far as megabytes up and down?
Well, I'm not sure about the megabytes. They are installing the antennas, but they haven't put those up.
I mean,
they haven't.
We don't know yet.
People online,
mm-hmm.
And to do that, but again, it will be the estimates are it will be at least 20 times faster when it comes out, and so
20 times what it'll.
What it is currently on 4G LTE.
And where do folks pick that up? Off of cell phone towers?
Yes. So all the cell phone, the original cell phone towers started with voice, and then they went to text.
Right.
Then they went to pictures, then they went to sound, and then they went to pictures and, you know, images and sound.
Thus, they go
again,
from one to five.
All cell phone towers now have that capability of, it's almost like a Wi-Fi capability.
Right.
Some people in the old days we called it WiMAX,
hmm.
But they all have. They can handle all four of those.
So if people are going to be driving around, say, I don't know, out in the country here, 50 miles from Austin, and I guess there's cell phones that you pick up. I guess you can still use your cell phone in the car. I don't know. So are they going to be affected by 5G out of the country or just outside the cities?
What they normally do with this new technology, they take larger cities or they take cities and then they put that first into place. And then it'll always be, you'll always be able to get 4G and 4G LTE on the new, when they bring out the new 5G phones. So they're always backward compatible. Sometimes when you're using your cell phone, you might see 3G pop up every so often, and you just don't have the connectivity. So again, and 5G is really not just an upgrade at this point, although they are upgrading it, but the density is a lot more, the density of cell towers. So currently there's about 150,000 cell towers in the U.S.
150,000? Wow.
Yeah, 150,000 in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cell phone organization called the CTIA, they expect to have about 200 or about 800 cell towers by 2026, and some people are estimating in the 2 million actually. So again, it's just going to get increasingly dense, and that's what we're the most concerned about. For I'm a certified electromagnetic radiation specialist.
Mm-hmm.
There's only 30 of us who are certified and practicing in the U.S.
Wow.
It's the density that's getting so worrisome. But the good news is we have solutions.
Yeah.
So,
and we'll talk about that today. So William, just in simple terms, kind of talk to us like we're a golden retriever or a young child. That's what we do around here. What's the difference between the body's response to, say, a 5G or just a cell phone tower and a cell phone? Do we know the difference in the effects?
They haven't done any biological safety studies.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Those were... And you had a great guest on, Martin Paul, Dr. Martin Paul.
Yeah. Really good, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was very good. And he talked about that there's been no studies on this. And so what normally happens is when I measure a cell phone, a flip phone, the radiation is a lot less on a flip phone because it can't do a lot of the things a smartphone would do. Similarly, the towers that you have that in the old days that supported a flip phone didn't have to be as intense, didn't have as much radiation. So as you go up to 5G, then you have to have even more radiation coming from those towers, and those towers tend to be denser as well. So instead of being 1,000 feet away, they'll start to be as close as 36 feet. And so what in the book, I talk about DDT, not the old DDT. I mentioned that as well. But DDT is what's the dosage, what's the distance you are from that dosage, and what's the amount of time you're spending there.
Oh.
All three of those things you have to sort of combine together.
Mm-hmm. So the signal must not go as far, because I keep seeing reports and hearing about these 5G things are going to be like on every other block or something in an urban area?
Right. So because they're sending so much more data through it, you have to actually get it closer to the source.
Oh, great.
And because it's closer to the source, then again, it has more influence on the body because the radiation is closer.
The radiation is closer. So the radiation must decrease and affect the cells in proportion to how close it is to it?
Yes, the higher the radiation, the more the cells are affected. And again, I'm not a medical doctor,
sure,
but we do know that it damages the DNA, and Dr. Martin Paul talked about that and the voltage gate calcium channels, how that's affected.
Yeah.
We know the blood-brain barrier is compromised. So toxic items in your blood, whatever, as they go through the brain, there's a tight barrier that doesn't allow some of those toxic metals and other things in your blood to get into the brain. There was an experiment where as little as after 2 minutes, your blood-brain barrier started to open up and those toxic metals could start to enter your brain. And the other thing it does, this is three of the major things it does, it weakens the immune system. So you might now get a disease you would never have gotten.
Sure.
And now since your immune system is weakened, it's harder to get rid of that disease.
Sure. And as we conjecture here, and I suspect you would agree, and you tell me, since these cell phone towers and the Wi-Fi and the whole thing has started, there'd be absolutely no way to quantify how this is affecting the health of humanity, because you know nobody's making this real connection in a scientific way. I mean, how could you? Well, George lived in so many whatever for 12 years, and he came down with cancer. You know what I'm saying?
Right. There are studies. Cindy Sage, I know you've had
on. She's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. She in 2012 she came out with the Bio Initiative report. And they had over 3,800 studies that linked the increase in radiation or certain types of radiation with health risks. So they've made that connection, and now we estimate that there's 5,000. I even heard Dr. Martin Paul say there's 10,000. So there's tons of studies out there. We have studies in the book where we look at the Netherlands, where the GBM tumors, the glioblastoma multiforme, had actually doubled recently in the Netherlands. So again, and those are the tumors that are tended more to be connected with like cell phone radiation and radiation from smart devices. Hmm. So there are studies, countries are looking at that. That's why certain countries, they're actually reducing the levels of radiation that they will allow. But the U.S. has not budged on that.
Mm-hmm. Bill Cadwalader, and again, your title is Electromagnetic Specialist, Electroradiation Specialist, correct?
Certified Electromagnetic Radiation Specialist.
Wow. And I'm sure you have some questions or some comments for this gentleman. And if you'd like to pick up his book, you can go to Amazon, quick and easy, flip, flip, click, click, get the Kindle or also the paperback for about $18, Prime, and you'll have it in a couple of days and bone up on this. Sometimes people like to really understand what's going on before they can make a reasonable decision on how to do some things or not. Exposed is the name of the book. Well, it's a cinch that that rebounding will help you to keep your little immune system snappier and happier. It certainly has worked for me over 25 years, and I think it just helps. Your little muscles, or big muscles, whatever you got, they just kind of just stay there, and they don't diminish without you not to be lifting a lot of weights, because when you jump up and down on the rebounder, you are actually expanding and contracting every cell of the body, every one, including the cells in the eyes, which is pretty cool. And then as you get higher off the mat, you want to check this out to your quantum physicist, and the astronauts figured this out, or NASA did, and you land back on the mat, it actually increases the impact on the body. So it's using the G-force, so it's using, you know, just God stuff to make the impact of the rebounders even more. So if you weigh 150 pounds, there's some kind of formula, but I think it's, I don't know, I don't even remember what the formula is. But I know that, for example, when I, you could take little 3 or 4 pound weights and do jumping jacks on the rebounder, and it really maximizes the effect. It's like, I think I figured out one time, it's like doing 15 pounds in each hand, just the effect on the muscles. And you take 2 15-pound little dumbbells and see if you can do jumping jacks on the ground. If you can do it, good for you. We have them on sale, the rebounder, at $299 for the half fold. If you'd like to get one, just email me and we'll work out the excuse me, I need some water. Hold on. It hasn't rained here in a long time and it's dry. Anyway, excuse me. And so $299, just email me and we'll work out the dynamics with the dollars. And if you'd like to get the ultimate or the quarter fold, which is the top of the line, you can go to reboundair.com and look at the picture of it. And they sell it for $429. You don't want to do that because we'll give it to you for $339. Just go on the website, One Radio Network, just order the rebounder, just click right through. And $339, use a debit or credit card or PayPal, depending if you have a PayPal account, and we'll ship you out the ultimate. If that's a little confusing, which it could be, just email me and I'll work it out with you. Previously, we talked with Dr. Rulin Zhu about using Pearlseum on your teeth.
You have to experience it, you'll believe it.
Yeah, you do. That's what I've been saying to my listeners. I keep saying, can't even explain this. Just buy it. Just click on it, buy some. Trust me. Just trust me. And you're going to like the way your teeth look. That's what I keep telling.
Dentists, they did an experiment on their clients, and they literally prove, and they literally show the picture every day. You know, when they take it in a few days, their tooth literally become, like you said, like a pearl, and it looks so beautiful and really white and shiny. Yeah, it really works, and it's also scientifically proven by the experiment. And he literally proved it is not only good for your teeth; he also proved it's also good for your gum.
Try some of this Pearlseum. I think you're going to love it. You can try it internally as well. Helps with sleep. Great way to get absorbable calcium, and also on your face. You'll see the green ad there, the beautiful green container. Get the capsules or the powder, Pearlseum. Click and order, oneradionetwork.com. So I'm talking way above my pay grade here, and I'm not making any claims or medical advice or any of that stuff. But if this whole calcium thing that Dr. Paul talked about, and he said that this is where we get engineering our bodies, the calcium going in into the cells, and this is what the EMFs block. So this is pearlcium is one of an incredible ways to absorb calcium because of its structure. It's from a real pearl, and the structure is not destroyed because the way she puts it in a powder, she's a biophysicist and a PhD type. Who knows? I would just speculate and tell my body, and even if it's not true, it's going to help. Tell my body, listen, baby, I'm taking this stuff, and this is helping that calcium get where it needs to be. We do know that this is one of the best ways to absorb calcium rather than, you know, it's a magical form of calcium, but there's also other minerals too and proteins. So it's not just calcium, even though it's called pearlcium. You get the powder, get the capsules, brush your teeth with it. You'll be amazed, and it's really fun. And maybe it'll just help give you more energy as well. I'm taking a lot internally, and I'm liking it. Pearlcium, front page, OneRadioNetwork.com. Previously with Dr. Richard Ulrey, and the relationship to the bacteria in our gut to everything.
There's tremendous communication between the gut bacteria in the brain through the vagus nerves.
Oh.
The brain doesn't necessarily make a lot of stuff. It's kind of like living on Hawaii. Everything has to be imported. 80% of what your brain needs is actually made by the gut bacteria for your brain to properly function and to regulate the rest of the body. Your gut bacteria is designed to make all of your vitamins. So if you're giving your patients vitamins, that means your gut bacteria is not making the vitamins for the body in question. I said, assuming you straighten out the gut, and we've got all the right bacteria doing all the right things, making vitamins. The reason you need vitamins is so you can absorb minerals.
That's great. We're learning so much. We've always known the bacteria being important, but more and more. Wow. These Living Streams probiotics we're promoting, we believe they are some of the most bioactive, varied, unique human DNA probiotics in glass liquid available anywhere. All the products in our store, click on One Living Streams, and you'll get access to them all on OneRadioNetwork.com. Keep in mind here, as we're talking about EMFs, we have what we think are two of the top-notch ways to really protect yourself. One is the Blue Shield technology out of Australia. Check it out. Go to our website. Click on it. Lots of information. You can contact Brandon Amalani, who's there. And if you have questions, you get a little cube. It goes out 90 yards. And also you have the Golden Pyramid here with Ken Rolla, who introduced me to our last guest, Mr. Uvarov from Russia. And he's got a scalar energy thing, and it works in a different way, so you can use them both. And with all these challenges, believe me, I pile on whatever I can, and we'll just, you know, we're just going to see how it plays itself out. We're talking with a gentleman who has really been looking at this, EMF stuff for a long time, is William Cadwallader. And so William, what kind of things that you have found? Have you seen different research on some of the things we talk about, or what you do you get in on your book on how to protect ourselves from these guys?
One of the major reasons I wrote the book is that there's four major types of radiation that need to be measured. That come, there's radiation through the air, which is Wi-Fi, wireless, and Bluetooth mainly. Some people call it RF. And then there's three radiations on the from the wires. There's electric radiation, magnetic radiation, and dirty electricity that your last guest, I think a week ago, Dave Stetzer, talked about.
Ah, okay. So there's four, RF, electrical, magnetic, and dirty, and those are from the wires.
Yes, the last three are from the wire. And it's very important. So when we go out to people's homes or schools or businesses, we measure all four of those, and those are very important. I don't know if you heard about the middle school that 24 actual teachers and staff had cancer from a single middle school.
No, really? Where was that?
Yeah. And if that's not bad enough, former students at that middle school, 49 of them now in their 20s, have developed cancer. So, Patrick, when you were in your 20s, how many of your friends had cancer?
We didn't even know the word.
Right. Same with me. And here's the worst number of all, 12. And I talk about this in the book. 12 have died. 6 teachers and staff and 6 students have now died in their 20s.
And what was,
and the three
what
top
was, what
cancers
was unique?
Were
oh, go ahead.
13 times the expected thyroid cancer, 10 times the expected melanoma, and 9 times the expected uterine cancer. And that was just the three top diseases, the three top cancers.
And where is this school?
Well, it's in California. It's in California.
And what was unique about their exposure?
Well, what happened was, and you've had Dr. Sam Milham on, and he actually saw an article in the paper, and so he went over to that school, and after hours he measured it, and the dirty electricity in the 11 of the classrooms were over 60 times the safe level that Dr. Sam Milham and Dave Stetzer recommend.
Oh, how many times?
It was over 60 times the safe level. And the meter at that point, the meter they were using, the Stetzer meter, actually pegged. In other words, it wouldn't go any higher.
Wow.
There was a school a couple of miles north of there that Dr. Milham measured a little bit later, and it was like over 100 times the levels, the safe levels that they recommend for dirty electricity.
And Dave Stetzer and the Graham Stetzer people, what is it, Bill? They said it. 30 is where you want to probably be. That's Russians say it's possibly safe.
Right. So what we say, based on, I know you've had Dr. Magda Havas on as well.
Mm-hmm.
So she has shown changes in blood chemistry and other things at about 30 or below. So when we go out and measure and install filters, we try to get it below 30. Where someone sleeps, and then below 50 where they don't sleep. So the three most important places when someone's in a home is a measure where they sit, mm-hmm. where they sleep, and where they stand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what our discipline does, is we go into homes, we look at places where people spend the most amount of time, and then we measure all four types of radiation. We'll measure the electric radiation, the magnetic radiation, dirty electricity, and then also the big thing now is Wi-Fi and wireless. And in the building biology for in Germany, that's where we get our standards, and we use those in America. And the standards, we don't use the word safe. What we do is we have no concern, slight concern, severe concern, and extreme concern.
I see.
And the newer routers that they're bringing out today, they have like 5.8 gigahertz. So I don't want to get a lot into numbers, but 5.8 gigahertz. And it's not uncommon for me to measure 20,000 microwatts per meter squared. 20,000.
And let me see if I have this right, and you correct me if I'm wrong.
Sure.
Dave Stetzer said that the Russians had come up with the number of 10 microwatts meters squared as safe, or not safe, but you want to be below that.
Yes, and so our standards is we would have 0.1 is the no concern, 0.1 to 10 is the slight concern, and then 10 to 1,000 is a severe concern, and anything over 1,000 is extreme. So again, these new routers that they're coming out are very, very dangerous, and they're using a frequency of what's called 5.8 gigahertz, and it is very dangerous. So, and it's important when someone measures that they have the right meters, because
correct.
This is a higher meter or a higher frequency, you need a newer meter to actually measure this. But again, that's what we do for people. We go out and we provide solutions.
I see.
And I wrote the book mainly several reasons. Is one, I want to make sure when someone goes out to a home and someone measures, or they do it themselves, and we have over 70 pages of solutions in the book, and that was another reason to write the book, so people could immediately take actions themselves. And but again, I normally give people a good, better, and best solution when I go out.
Right.
So some people can do the best solution, but other people can't. So we want to give people do as much as they can with these. And all four of these radiations are dangerous and can cause health effects. So it's important when someone does it themselves or actually has a certified electromagnetic radiation specialist come out to make sure they measure all four. And then at that time, we also remediate as well.
Mm-hmm. So you're seeing some of these new routers are showing what numbers do you see and how far are you from the router when you're measuring?
Oh, 20,000. Oh, maybe about 4 or 5 feet away.
20,000?
I'm from Las Vegas. I'm headquarters in Las Vegas.
Huh.
And so north of, I was just in a home last week, and I measured it, and of course he had a new router, and it was over 20,000. And again, we want, you know, about 10 or 20 or something like that. And so what I did is I said, you know, here are some of the things we have to do. And so he's in the process of doing that. And one of the things he's doing is at least turning it off at night. So good, better, and best solution is good. You only turn it on when you need it. A better solution is that you turn it off at night. And so one night he forgot to turn it off. And I just talked to him actually yesterday, and he said, you know, I could tell the change in my sleep that one night, and he didn't know what was happening. He went over to the router, and he turned it off. And it was still on. That
sure.
was the one change that he had.
But would not the best solution be to just hardwire it and forget the Wi-Fi?
Yes, the best, yeah, I use the better solution as turn it off at night, but the best solution is hardwire as much as you can.
Sure.
And that's what he's in the process of doing, is actually hardwiring his wife's TV and his TV.
And of course, the challenge is that folks have kind of fallen into the idea that I want to be able to walk around with my little laptop and do whatever I want to do, and it's there's a big downside to that, obviously.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And on our website, I have first steps to a total EMF makeover. So someone can actually go out to the website. There are 10 things that they can actually download for free. And then they can actually, most of them are one-minute solutions.
Cool. And that's Stop Dirty Electricity. Is that right?
Yeah, stopdirtyelectricity.com. Toward the bottom of the page, it says sign up for the first steps to a total EMF makeover.
Cool.
And when I speak, I was a featured speaker at the 45th Annual Cancer Convention just last year. And when I was out there, I speak about 10 minutes on what all the issues are, but then I give 20 minutes of solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what you need. Eventually, see, people say, okay, I'm done. Tell me what the solutions are. And that's what we specialize in our particular discipline, is we provide solutions for people. And most of them are very easy. And again, we have solutions in the book, over 70 pages. And then if someone even wants to take the next step, they can get a certified electromagnetic radiation specialist in their area. And they can actually check that out as well. And it gets really sad that we hear almost on a weekly basis. So I was doing another house in Las Vegas, and I walked out, and it was a couple's house, and the lady said, well, you know, the girl across the street had a tumor on the side of her face. I said, tumor? She said, yeah, and it was a 9-hour surgery, and it was benign, and they got it out. I said, wow. And she said she sleeps right by her cell phone. And what most people don't know is even if you're not making a call, every 6 to 30 seconds is what I measure, that the cell phone sends out a burst of radiation and is trying to connect to the nearest cell tower, Bluetooth, or Wi-Fi device.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens all night long. And it's 100, over 100 times the safe or the no concern level.
Wow. So,
and if she would have just picked up that cell phone and moved it as far away as possible across the room, get it as far away, then her exposure would have been a lot less.
Sure. So when you're driving around, say if you have a car, say you have a newer car, and you got a little Wi-Fi set up, an antenna, I guess, that picks up the internet? Do they have them? I don't have a new car, so I don't know. Is new cars come with an antenna to pick up Wi-Fi?
Some of the new cars have Wi-Fi and Bluetooth in them. So Wi-Fi is even more dangerous than Bluetooth, although Bluetooth is very dangerous. So most of the time when people pair up a phone, it's through Bluetooth, and then the Wi-Fi is actually that you would use your iPad on and different things where you're actually getting data.
I see.
So there was a colleague of mine in Pennsylvania, right outside Philadelphia, and she started to work with autistic children and the parents. And so this one parent had an autistic children, and again, we're not making any medical claims, so please let your viewers know this. And when they unpaired the phone from the Bluetooth in the car, the child started to improve almost immediately. Because the child is so sensitive, just that little bit of Bluetooth in the car is actually affecting them. So if someone's in that state, what we recommend is they actually disconnect the Bluetooth, and then in newer cars, they would disconnect the Wi-Fi.
So what's the difference, Bill, when you're driving down in the out in the highway somewhere, and you would have your Wi-Fi thing disconnected or connected, and even if you're not going to use the phone, does it matter? In other words, say there's no phone in the car, but you disconnect your Wi-Fi, does that affect the body in a good way? Or does it only affect the body in a negative way when you use a device?
Well, what happens is most people don't know is certain things like routers and cordless phone bases are some of the most dangerous because instead of being a periodic, every 6 to 30 seconds, they're just every second they're sending out a signal. So if it's a Wi-Fi router, like in the car, a mini Wi-Fi router, then that would be a continual exposure. It wouldn't just be every 6 to 30 seconds.
Even if you don't have your phone on?
Right. Wow. So if the router, it can, so in your house, the gentleman that I talked about that was sleeping and had a bad night's sleep and then realized he left the router on, it's continually going out almost like a machine gun.
Yeah.
It's just continually just going out and out and out because it's going out trying to find the nearest device to connect. Because all of our electronic devices, including smart devices, they all have a receiving and a transmitting mode. So again, it doesn't matter to the phone. And most people think like a cordless phone base, boy, they're one of the worst because when you hang up the phone, it stays on. It continually broadcasts, trying to find the next phone.
I told this little story years ago. There's a counter in my kitchen where you can sit kind of next, you know, just off to the side a little bit, kind of like a counter to do stuff with a little mini desk. And I used to sit there in the evenings and talk to my girlfriend, right, on the phone. So there were times when I start to feel like weird when I sat down there and I thought, well, there's something going on with this relationship here. I got to figure this out. So then I got my my little meters out and I start to dink around there where I was sitting, Bill. And I figured out very quickly that the phone that I was using had a little square thing. What do you call these things that plug into the... It's just, you know, a little square box. It's not very big, 2 inches wide by 2 inches. You know, what do they call those things that plug in?
They call them a wall wart or just a... are you talking about the plug that plugs into the wall?
Yeah, just a little square thing. What is that? That must do something to the energy going into the phone, right?
Yeah. So all electronics have to run on 19 volts or less.
Right.
And so what happens is in the wall we have 120 volts.
Okay.
So when those electronics, when the voltage is compressed down to 19 volts or less, it creates small spikes of radiation that piggyback on the line that are dirty electricity.
Ah.
So dirty electricity is caused by the electronics in our home. So all the electronics that we have, they're constantly, and it's doing it thousands of times a second. But light bulbs are also a problem.
Sure.
CFL light bulbs, the old Curlicue light bulbs, or the newer ones that Magda Havas have talked about, and I know Dave Stetcher has, those also, they're actually going on and off multiple, anywhere from 5,000 to 20,000 times a second. Every time it goes on and off, it creates a little spike of radiation.
Oh. So that's what I was feeling, and I figured that out, and, you know, this little plug I didn't need. All it did was light up and tell me who was calling, and who cares, right? So I just pulled it out, and I immediately could feel the difference, and the meters just went silent. And that little thing right there was causing me a problem because I was only about 5 feet away from it. and I didn't. It's amazing that that little thing that you just were down drafts the voltage from 120 to 19 could affect the body like that. It's amazing.
And dirt. And when we measure a house, electric radiation comes 6 to 8 feet out into the room. And so one of the problems we're finding out is electric beds and electric recliners now. Huge problem with those.
Sure.
Because electric radiation, think about it as water in a hose. So if you have a nozzle on the hose and you haven't opened it, there's still water in that hose ready to come out, correct? Same thing with electricity in the wires and electric radiation. It's still in those live wires, even though you haven't turned on a lamp or something, and that can come 6 to 8 feet out. So it's not uncommon for me to find an electric bed that will measure, I'll just use a number, 50 volts per meter, and that's about 300 times the no concern level. And so, but we're all about solutions. So what you do on an electric bed is when you get it in your position, then you pull the plug or you have a remote control cutoff, and it cuts off all the electricity to that bed.
Sure.
It's a huge problem now. Yeah. Same thing with the recliner. You can have an automatic cutoff switch. They're only about $9. They're remote control in one of the big hardware stores. So once you get the recliner in the position you want, you just cut the electricity off. And then when you're ready to get out, you just turn on electricity and then move the recliner forward.
Sure, yeah. Here's an email. I haven't yet noticed any consumer Wi-Fi routers or cell phones with 5G circuitry built in. We may not have direct capability to stop the rollout of 5G transmitters, but we have full discretion on whether to purchase the new 5G devices. Hopefully people will recognize that the promised faster data speed of 5G is not worth it at the expense of our health, and thwart the 5G movement by not buying into it. Shows like this will help spread the word. Appreciate your work. Oh.
Yeah, and again, with our solutions, we assume no one's really going to get rid of their cell phone. People are going to keep their smart devices. And with those, we show people how to use it safely. So one of the things people don't know, and it's in one of the first steps that we have on the website, that free report, is that when you have never carry your cell phone in your pocket, because every 6 to 30 seconds, it's trying to find the nearest cell tower, Bluetooth, or Wi-Fi device. But if you turn airplane mode on and Wi-Fi and Bluetooth off, it immediately shuts off all the radiation on that phone, and you can carry it very safely.
Huh.
And there was we were doing some work in South Orange, Southern California, went to a firefighter's house. He had a son that was 19, and he brought him out. We said, we didn't know what this was about. He said, my 19-year-old son has a hip replacement. Well, how can a 19-year-old son have a hip replacement? When he was a freshman in high school, he took his phone and he kept it in his front pocket all the way through high school, 4 years. He graduated. Shortly after he graduated, he was hiking, jumped off a small rock, broke his hip. They rushed him to emergency, put him on the operating table. The surgeon, the first thing she found was a huge tumor right where he carried the cell phone.
Oh, wow.
She went right through that tumor and she couldn't believe her eyes. She could take her finger and stick her finger right through the bone. His bone was completely dissolved.
Wow. Let's go to a phone. Hi, who's on the phone here? Good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. It's Sean up in Seattle. Wanted to know if you had a two-minute elevator pitch to exactly who you're just talking about, the kids and their cell phones. What would you say? Because that's the biggest challenge we have as parents is educating the kids who have their cell phones in their pockets, on them 24/7, 365, and, you know, it's not like kids are dropping dead and pushing your finger through every kid's bone, so they don't see people dying on the street corners because they got cell phones in their pockets. But, you know, you hear
What are you asking?
If he had a two-minute elevator pitch to the teenagers, well, and the adults.
Okay, all right. So other than just telling them the truth, what would you say, Bill?
Normally what I do is I have stories, so I would tell someone a story about the other, about a cell phone in the pocket. My wife just several months ago went to a funeral. The gentleman died of testicular cancer. He was ready to go into the Coast Guard, and that's where he carried the phone, right in that pocket. And what we've also done is, Patrick, we try to provide any level of education we want, like a book. But I also have found that one-minute videos work well.
Yeah.
One-minute videos on my website and also on the YouTube. And so one of them is cancer on your nightstand. And another one is step away from the microwave. And we find out with about a one-minute video, they sort of get it because I've got the meter there, and they can see as you move away.
Yeah.
But I would say the stories tend to work the best. I mean, any of us in this business continually get the stories on a weekly basis, these heartfelt stories.
Yeah.
When it becomes personal, that's when. And what we say is take the precautionary approach. Remember the lady with the young girl that was 16 that had the tumor on the side of her face?
Mm-hmm.
I saw that customer, that client, recently, and she said it grew back in less than a year. And this time it was cancerous, and she had another 9-hour surgery with plastic surgery at this point.
Wow.
And what would have taken to just move it across the room? And it almost has to become personal, or they have to see, you know, if they're more engineering type, the videos and...
You know, Sean, an idea from this side, Sean, he asked a good question. You know, if you could edit out several of these guests talking about, you know, the safe levels, two or three of them saying the same thing, and then letting your little ones hear that and then get yourself a meter and then showing them the difference, you know, between a safe level and where they might be at. The kids are pretty visual, you know, that might, you know, have some impact on them.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Have you found anywhere, I mean, obviously iPhones, I have an iPhone, everybody's got the iPhone here, and because we're using them, to hardwire those in, and do you have a workaway? Because I keep checking, and the stores just, you know, don't have it, just a hardwire.
Oh, to hardwire your iPhone, at home, you mean?
Yes, when you're at home, and because, you know, we hardwired all the computers in to get rid of the Wi-Fi, but
okay. Can you hardwire a hard iPhone, Bill? William?
Did we lose?
Oh, did we lose?
Did we lose our guest?
Wait a minute. Oh, Bill. The connection's still there. I wonder. Let's you know, Sean, why I'm figuring that out. You know, I've never heard that. Do they even have a spot where you could? You could put in a hard wire.
You had had one guest in the past, and I've searched, and it had to have been. And I thought it was Dave Stetzer, or one of the guys like him. That they had, it was like three different cords and whatnot. And yeah, you could do it, but I could never find that. Yeah. And I went to Fry's Electronics.
Well, you could call contact Dave Stetzer if you think it's him. Maybe that's. I know. Okay.
Patrick,
oh, there you are. What happened to you?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I was just sort of sitting here, and I drifted out.
Oh, you drifted. Okay. So the question was, can you hardwire an iPhone?
Mm-hmm. If you go to Orem Miller site.
Orem Miller?
Safer use of computers. In 2014, he was a guest on your program.
Yes.
Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the safer use of computers. It's just type in Orem Miller EMF. And then go to that, and he has the various ways of hardwiring these remote devices.
Oh, cool.
Like, iPads as well as phones themselves.
Mm-hmm. Cool. How do you spell Orem?
So it wasn't Dave Stetzer. Perfect.
O-R-A-M.
O-R-A-M Miller. So check him out,
Miller,
Sean.
And
yeah.
He's in Los Angeles, and he keeps that all up to speed on that. What's the best way to use it? What's the safer way to
use
it?
So cool.
He has a great website on using iPhones and different types.
Mm-hmm. Okay, John.
And the meter that you have, Patrick?
Yes, sir.
And the meter that he's using, are they the same or the best? I mean, I don't care if it's 500 or 1,000.
Well, I don't know. You know what I would do is I would talk to Emil at lessemf.com and get his advice. He knows his stuff. Now, Dave Stetzer did say, and we get Bill's opinion, that he would prefer not to have the one that I have. It's got this orange ball on it because it's omnidirectional, that he would kind of like to know exactly what directions he's coming from. So some of these meters, Bill, you can respond to this, actually have a directional thing on it so you know what direction it's coming from. Do you agree with Stetzer on that?
Yes. To measure all four radiations mainly with the cell phone or the smartphone, we're talking about Wi-Fi, wireless, and Bluetooth on that.
Mm-hmm.
There's two great meters to measure that. One is called the Safe and Sound RF detector. It's at Safe Living Technologies. And then also Emil at lessemf.com. He has a great meter. It's called the Acousticom 2. So in my book, in the back of my book, I detail the four types of meters that you need to measure this. And again, this is Wi-Fi, wireless, and Bluetooth. But you also, to do a complete job, you want to measure the electric and magnetic as well as the dirty electricity.
And that just takes a tri-field meter, right?
I would go with the, on my website, I recommend certain meters. One's called the ME3030B by Gigahertz. You can just go to stopdirtyelectricity.com and see that. And then also, the Dave Stetzer meter is a great meter for
sure.
Dirty electricity.
Yeah.
And then also you need a Wi-Fi, wireless, and Bluetooth or RF meter, which is either the Safe and Sound RF detector and or the Acousticom 2. But you do need to measure all four. Some people want to start with, Wi-Fi, wireless, and Bluetooth.
Sure,
and
just get
and
the big guy first.
Are
those both directional, William?
Yes.
Okay.
The Safe and Sound and the Acousticom 2, both the antennas on the back. So as you hold the back toward a source and you're looking at the front, it's coming right through, from the back to the front.
Well, you have some good sources there, Shawnee.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Keep up the good work. Support you every way we can.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah.
Here's an email. Do a couple more before we go here. Denise says, I learned this weekend that a ketogenic diet offers protection from radiation. Okay. Not heard that, but have you ever heard that, Bill, William?
I'm not familiar with that.
Okay.
We don't get too much into diet. What we do is we have scientific approaches to measuring radiation. We know the levels of concern and then how to reduce those concerns.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd have to just be careful with that. People make a lot of claims about a lot of things on the internet, so I don't know. I suspect in some way more fat would be a protection, but not sure about that one. Hello, Patrick. There is some confusion regarding earth grounding, and I have a question for William about it. I've been using earth grounding for years with very positive results. I use a long copper rod that goes into the ground. I know that Dave Stetzer is against it. He's saying you are just trading voltage for current. But my question is, which way do the electrons flow when you are grounded, from the earth to you or to the earth? If from the earth to you, that to me would be a very helpful. Do you know from grounding technology, have any opinions?
Sure. Some people inner discipline like it. Other people don't care for it. The one thing in our book, I have a chapter where I talk about these, like grounding and things. And the one thing I would say is that you always have to check your grounding source. So a lady flew me up to Idaho, and she has 20 acres, and she had 5 acres where she was going to put some horses and some other animals. And so when I measured the source, it was over 25 volts per meter.
In the ground. In the ground.
Put that in perspective, we want to be at about 0.1 or 1.
Right.
So again, if someone was putting in in a grounding rod at that point to be grounded, then that would not be good. So if someone does that, I would always, before they ground it, I would always check the grounding point to see what it is with a meter. And then I would check it annually as well, because things can change. They might put in a new, you know, power substation where now at that point where they it was low, but now it's high. So
yeah, Peter,
I would do those two things.
Yeah, Peter, so you could listen to Dave Stetzer or call Dave, and he can show you how to check how much voltage is in the ground where your copper wire is going, and that would be a good place to start. But there's also people that conjecture, Stetzer is one of them, even if you have a place where there's 0.1 voltage in the ground, which is pretty much rare in North America, by the way, unless you're up in somewhere out in the middle of the country, that and Stetzer doesn't like the technology ever, just regardless, even if you got a good source. But that's just what his research shows, but you may want to do it anyway.
And again, with his research, the cow's milk plummeted at 0.1 volt.
That's right. Yeah.
And the meter, the ME3030B, which is a magnetic and an electric meter that we recommend for residential use, we have commercial meters that are thousands of dollars, but this is about $145. You can actually just put it on E, and then you can turn it on, and you can actually just lay it on the ground, and it'll tell you what the You know.
Here's a question for you, William. Is the problem with Walmart kind of power transformers used for many electronic devices, like Patrick talked about with his phone, is it the problem EMF radiation or dirty electricity spikes induced by the house wiring? If some of the issues is EMF radiation through the air, would wrapping the transformer with aluminum foil or spray painting it with metallic paint help?
So I think they're referring to a transformer that's on the end of a plug.
Yeah, well, like I was talking about William on my phone.
Right. That would actually put the aluminum foil wouldn't stop the magnetic radiation, so there's a couple of problems with those. So that's why we always recommend when someone charges a cell phone, one of the worst things you can do is charge your cell phone on your nightstand because you have the Wi-Fi wireless and Bluetooth going all night long. Pulses of radiation, but that wiring, that actual charger, creates electric radiation, magnetic radiation, and dirty electricity. So when you have a transformer in the wall, you would again create all you have the possibility of creating all three of those.
Yeah. So it's what I was feeling was not necessarily emanating from that little square. It was going through the wires, so it was creating a huge amount of dirty electricity when I was near the wires there.
As well as magnetic radiation, that they normally create a lot of magnetic radiation.
Wow.
Well.
Man.
But the good news is, Patrick, we have solutions.
Yeah, well, there's always a way, right? There's always
multiple
a way.
Ways. Mm-hmm. And we have good, better, and best solutions.
Here's another for you. What effect do these fitness trackers have on our bodies? They're usually paired with our phones. Thank you for your information. What's a fitness tracker? I'm not sure about that.
Well, a fitness tracker is like a Fitbit or something like that. And every year, I live in Las Vegas, I go to the Consumer Electronics Show. And this is one of the biggest shows in Las Vegas. And the last 5 years, they've been talking about smart devices. And this year, they were actually going crazy on smart devices, what they had. And these are devices that have Wi-Fi, wireless, or Bluetooth in them, and they're constantly sending out radiation. They literally have smart baby diapers. And it tells the parent on their cell phone when the diapers are wet. So they're
wrapped. Oh, come on. You're just making this up, right?
No.
O-M-G.
I wish I was.
I can't believe.
And if that's not bad enough, they have a smart baby bottle now. That says, here's the temperature of the milk, and you're about half full. So they can't look and just see that, and that's, again, transmitting radiation next to the baby, and they have multiple cells dividing and all the other things. And one of the worst, I mean, if those aren't bad enough, I'm not, you know, but in the back of our book on Appendix 1, what I did is for every single room in the house, so you can say, hey, I have the nursery. I wonder if I have anything that might cause a problem. and I list all the Wi-Fi, wireless, and smart devices, and someone can say, oh, I didn't realize that could be a problem, as well as all the other items that could do electric, magnetic, and dirty electricity. So some people can just take that up and just go to a room and say, oh, gee, I wonder if I have any of these, and these could be a problem. But they have a Wi-Fi pacifier, a smart pacifier. So the baby sucks on the pacifier.
Oh, man.
The parent, the temperature of the baby. So the baby is literally sucking on a mini cell tower. How bad can it get?
Tell me that isn't so. What about these baby monitors that you put it near the baby's bed? Either pick it up through a monitor thing or on, now you can pick it up on your dumb phone. Are those dangerous for the baby?
Very dangerous. Very dangerous. In the first steps to a total EMF makeover, that's number 11, and I talk about it. And then also on my website and YouTube, I have a one-minute video where I use a meter. The meters are recommending, and you have to, and I'm back maybe 30 feet, and it's still dangerous.
Wow.
From baby monitor.
And moms just don't know. How would they know, right? They're just trying to do the best for their baby, and they wouldn't know. There's no way. Wouldn't know. Bill's book is called Exposed. Bill Cadwallader, Exposed. Can you stick around a few more minutes?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
We have to.
Yeah, we're kind of running long. A few more minutes. Let's get some your final emails or calls in here. Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Bill's website to check out for you moms or dads or whoever is StopDirtyElectricity.com. Sounds like he has a lot of different tools and some good things to look at there. So we're doing what we can here, folks. Previously, we talked with Brandon Amalani about his Blue Shield product to protect against EMFs in your home.
The more connected we are, the more electromagnetic radiation we're going to have. So years ago, I'd play with Q-Links and just anything I can get my hands on that, whether I felt it working or not, I just wanted some kind of leverage against electromagnetic radiation and those frequencies and how they affect the cellular biology. But then when I met Mark and started really getting deep to his technology and really looking at the microprocessing technology, I've never found any EMF company that would not only to test on not only human blood and urine analysis, but also on animals, which totally weeds out the idea of placebo effect. I mean, the fact that you can plug these devices into a chicken farm, a factory farm, for about 15,000 laying hens, and all of a sudden the mortality rate, which is averages from 60 to 150 deaths per month, goes down to zero. I mean, it's pretty profound that a little device, a little energy device, could actually like create such a harmony and balance within the environment to where claustrophobic chickens that are crammed in together actually get along better and actually feel better. And the biological markers are improved over that 1 year study.
There's quite a bit of science with this Blue Shield product. You can see the ad on the front page. Promo code ONERADIO will get you a 10% discount. This works on the cells in the body. Very cool technology. Front page, Blue Shield, OneRadioNetwork.com. We were essentially talking about the cube there that goes out 90 yards, put it in the center of your home. Probably take care of some of your neighbors in your yard too, which is pretty cool. Help your dog out in the backyard. Also, then they have a little small device. I have one. They're cool. They look about the size of a credit card, maybe the thickness of four credit cards. Very nice, easy to carry. You charge it up with a USB plug in your computer, and it lasts for, depending on how often you turn it off and on, of course, for a long time, so you're not always having to charge it. And you carry this in your pocket rather than your cell phone, and it helps your body, just do a little bit, do a lot better when you're driving around with all this stuff going on in the world. So, pretty cool technology. It's Blue Shield, right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. We're talking with Daniel Vitalis of Sir Thrival. What's a little history on the elk velvet antler? The idea is to go way back.
It does. Elk antler and deer antler and moose antler and all the antlers of the cervid in their velvet or young stage before they've hardened to full bone have been used as a euthening medicine, as a kind of libido enhancing medicine for thousands of years, particularly in Asia. We see this long history in China and then also in Russia as well. It was studied in Cold War Russia as a kind of anabolic supplement for their elite athletes. And that's where we get the base formula that we use at SurthRival. Now, we've optimized that formula using organic ingredients and really high quality packaging, but it is based on that current, that modern Russian research and all the evidence that came out of that Cold War era.
And then you too could kind of wrestle a tiger like Vladimir Putin with your shirt off. Just kidding. Elk Velvet is just one of the cool things that SurthRival offers. We have elk velvet, pine pollen, colostrum, shaga, reishi, the K2 daylight, which is a really nice K2 and vitamin D. And then now they also have the bitters, digestive bitters, all on SurthRival. Any SurthRival link on OneRadioNetwork.com. Have an interesting conversation, Hill, here with Bill Cadwallader. How do you say it again?
Cadwallader.
Cadwallader. And his book, Exposed. I just received this in my email from the website techworm.net. Researchers developed new terahertz transmitter, which sends data at 100 times GPS above, 10 times faster than 5G. This is new and improved stuff already in the works. Terahertz, wow, 300 gigahertz band, higher up the spectrum than 5G is likely to use. So,
wow,
this isn't going away, William. They're into this stuff, and as you know, governments are not—they're not doing anything. They're not studying anything. I guess didn't Dr. Paul suggest that the only thing the governments have ever studied, and that's very limited, is the thermal effect of cell phones right on your head?
Yeah, it's called the thermal effects. And in the book, we talk about SAR and SAM. And SAM is the dummy that they actually use to measure the radiation. And it's 6'2", and it's 220 pounds, and it represents less than 3% of the American population. And when they test the cell phone, they never put it right on the dummy's head. It's always spaced away. Because if you read the fine print in any of the phones that you buy, any of the smartphones, it will say, never hold the phone next to your body. Yeah. On your body or next to your
body. That's what they say, never hold the phone.
Next to your body or on your body. And it's a huge collusion. We go into the book, besides the solutions, I do want to emphasize that. But we also talk about safe things that are now dangerous, like asbestos. So we have a little timeline on asbestos, and they knew asbestos was dangerous in 1918. That was the first report that came out. But it took years later, decades, until it actually was started to be banned in certain substances. BPAs, they knew in the 1930s that there were dangers with BPAs, but we just heard about the last 10 or 15 years ago. Even lead in paint, 1950s, they knew there was a problem, as well as lead in gasoline. And these are the timelines we have in the book. In 1922, they knew there was a problem with lead in gasoline. And pesticides like DTTs, 1950s. But the crown one is tobacco. In 1929, they linked tobacco with lung cancer. And when did they finally settle the lawsuit? Early 2000s. And Cindy Sage has said, and it's like, how many studies will it take for people to use these devices safer? We're not saying don't use it. And do you know how many studies Cindy Sage said that they had until they finally settled the tobacco issue? It was 60,000 studies. So I often ask people, how many studies will it take? You just take a precautionary approach that just takes a little bit more time to move your cell phone across the, you know, the bedroom or as far away as possible. I mean, the things we're talking about, those 10 things that I talk about in the first steps to a total EMF makeover, take 1 minute or less.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, have you had any experience, research, some of these things where you can paint the inside of your home and mix your paint with stuff?
Sure. Actually, just finishing one. So it's on the 20th floor, downtown Las Vegas.
How are you doing?
So it's working. And we painted the floor, the ceiling, and all the walls, and then we'll actually put film on the windows. Now, that's a little bit different because if you're in a condo, literally you can have a lot of neighbors that can affect you, as well as when you look outside of this window, you see a large cell tower just in the next block.
Mm-hmm.
So the paints do work well, but whenever you do shielding, we recommend that you always have meters because almost all the shielding is reflective. So I was doing a house here in Las Vegas, and it was a large master bedroom with 9 windows, and I could see the cell tower. So I put up something temporary. We have temporary shielding, and it dropped it down on window 1, dropped it lower on window 2, but when I put the third sheet up on window 3, it actually went up. Because radiation comes in, and sometimes it goes out windows. And so that's why if someone's doing shielding, I would recommend that they have a certified electromagnetic radiation specialist with the meters to help them through that, because you only want to do as much as necessary. And a lot of times we just paint the outside of a wall, you know, like here's a wall to a house and you can see the cell tower. A lot of times that's all you need to do, plus a little window film. But it does take someone with the knowledge, and I would never do shielding just without meters.
Sure, of course. Now you're out in Las Vegas, and I'm obviously people around your area could call you. But, I mean, are there other people around the world? Because we have listeners all over the world and North America, everywhere.
Sure.
To find people like you?
Yes. If you go to, if you type in building biology, find an expert. So the Institute is in Santa Fe, the International Institute of Building Biology and Ecology.
Mm-hmm.
And to be certified, you actually go through 14 courses over almost 2 years to be certified.
Oh, cool.
And so they have classes. They actually have a class this August, one of the beginning EMF classes there at the Institute, and I'll actually be in a teaching assistant with them.
Oh.
But if you go out to there and look at Find an Expert, then it shows you by state and by, where people are.
You get certified biologist, they call them?
Yeah, building biologist was the original certification, and then they made a certified electromagnetic radiation mm-hmm. specialist. And then they specify the difference on that particular mm-hmm. chart if you look. And building biologists are good in this field. They've just added another certification. We take some more classes, but they're good as well. And just talk if they specialize in this area. Some specialize with mold and air quality and
right.
things like that. And but some of them also specialize in electromagnetic radiation, measuring it. And again, the key is to measure, have someone, either yourself or someone else, to make sure they measure all 4 types of radiation. I can't stress that
sure.
high.
You want to measure them all. Have you yes. had a, did you come across any of our shows with George Swanson?
No. The gentleman that wrote Building Walls.
Breathable Walls, yeah.
Yeah, Breathing Walls. I haven't heard the show, but Orem Miller, he has a workshop in Southern California every 2 months. He was the one that actually co-wrote, he was a co-author with that book, The Breathing Walls.
Ah, yeah, that's right, with George. Well, George tells us that all sheetrock sold in this country molds, except for the magnesium oxide stuff they're starting to produce that they make in China.
Wow.
Yeah, all of it. And we've got a good, pretty inexpensive way to remediate the home from mold with a Living Streams product called Mold Relief that I thought it was amazing when I did my home. Just amazing.
Boy, I'm going to look in that after we get off.
Yeah, check it out. Yeah, yeah. I would listen to George's show. And then if you like to learn more information about the Mold Relief, just email me and I'll turn you on to it. But yeah, he said this stuff with the humidity and the way this green board and all this stuff sold at Home Depot and the rest of the places, it just molds. It just does over time. Just no doubt about it. But this new magnesium oxide stuff, it's called MagnaCrete, you know, magnesium oxide. So they're making sheetrock with it and putting it in, using it as basis for a home, you know, for the slab, so they don't have to have rebarb. As you know, that's a problem, right, when you put rebarb in concrete. So a lot of cool things to learn about what you can do and what you can't do.
Yeah, I heard a show where you talked about that you actually did that with a little restaurant.
I did, yeah. Yeah, we had a little patio with the magnesium. Of course, the money I spent on that kind of stuff was one of the reasons why I went bankrupt, you know, because I was worried about putting Rebob. And, oh, my God. Don't get me started. Bill Cadwallader, and he's an electronic certified electronic, and this thing keeps moving, radiation specialist. Boy, this book sounds just great for our listeners to get and to really get a nice, you know, a nice a primer on all this stuff before you start spending money here and there, right? It's really good to understand.
And the complete title is Expose the Electronic Sickening of America and How to Protect Yourself, Including Dangers of 5G and Smart Devices. And when it was released on Amazon, it was number one in new releases in health, fitness, and safety when it first came out.
Cool. And when did it first come out?
June 18th. So it's a new book.
I'll be done. StopDirtyElectricity.com. All right, William, good job. We enjoyed spending some time with you. You're doing great work.
Great. Thanks for having me, Patrick. I appreciate all the experts you bring to your show.
Well, it's our pleasure, sir. Thanks. All right, there you go. Boy, that was fun. And the pyramid thing was totally cool, too. And we'll see you tomorrow. We're going to talk about healthcare and some of the strange things going on. And where do you hear about some of the way this whole thing is set up? You'll probably want to bring some duct tape so your head doesn't explode. We'll probably have some other things tomorrow, too. So I love you all very much. Thanks for your ongoing support. If you're on the EMF range, check out Blue Shield. Check out Ken Rolla. Also, Ken has amazing, just terrific thing. I just got a new cube, and it's the Vitalizer Plus. If you click on the Blue Shield, you get one of those, and you structure your water. It also puts organic minerals in the water. It has a little thing that tells you when it runs out of juice. You just replace it. Very cool. You can structure all your water. So, you know, we recommend the most inexpensive way to deal with water. Get a good distiller. You can put street water right in your distiller. Then you structure the water. Get some minerals in there with the cube. Or also, you can add some, like I do, the Living Streams Multi-Blend, or the Living Streams Minerals. Put that in there. And you're really good to go. You got some nice water that you've structured. Now we'll probably get a pyramid and put it in that. And who knows what else. Oh, Ken has these little round things, too, that you'll see on his website that you can set your water on. A lot of cool things you can do. So as soul, we're very creative here on planet Earth. So as we get exposed to more and more little silly stuff, well, there's always a way. Just remember, there's always a way. Always. I love you all very much. See you tomorrow.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is One RadioNetwork.com.